Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome to the program. Felger and Mads riding here on a Monday from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester, Massachusetts. It's the beautiful Beasley Media Group. We come to you here on 98.5. That's the FM dial in Boston area. Catch us there. Catch us across the country and across New England, more importantly, on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime on the app, 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Download that from your app store on your smartphone. The stream comes right up. Also a great place to catch all the replays. And we'll have the Felger and Mads off-air show tonight on Facebook Live and our Twitch channel. 6 o'clock sharp. Myself and whoever wants to join me for some post-game stuff at 6 o'clock. There's all your plugs, if you will. Mads, how you doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you. We got Big Jim Murray in our update studio. Reentry Monday, so everything on the board. I want to get to the Bruins last night. Want to get to the Celtics from the weekend. But we have to start with NFL free agency and this wonderful legal tampering period, which feels like they've just rolled everything up now. Two different periods where free agency really begins Wednesday, but it feels like it began today. And the legal tampering period really felt like the illegal tampering period for the weeks leading up to today. And so now there's all sorts of stuff flying across the league. And I just want to start with the stuff as it relates to the Patriots. Trent Brown already gone. No word on Trey Flowers, but it doesn't look good. Your thoughts on those two items?
So I'm not the least bit surprised about Trent Brown because, to me, it felt like that's the way it was going to go. He felt like sort of your classic Patriot one-year rental. And obviously they have Isaiah Wynn there ready to jump in. So that one didn't surprise me. I am getting more worried about Flowers, though, and the more that I think about it. All kinds of reports out there about the value for Flowers potentially being through the roof. So I hear all of that, and I said, well, you know what? I didn't put this together before, but it makes sense. All the defensive players were franchised. Flowers became defensive pass rushers. All the pass rushers were franchised, so Flowers became the most appealing name on the market. And then the Patriots went out and got Michael Bennett. So it sort of struck me that, you know what, because again, I linked the two. I'm sorry. Even if it's just protection in the event the bidding for Flowers gets out of control, I think the Patriots saw that the defensive ends, pass rushers all got franchised, and they said the price for this guy is now going to go through the roof and we better safeguard ourselves. So they went out and got Michael Bennett. I think there's a direct cause and effect there.
And how do you feel about that if that's the case? Bennett for Flowers.
Well, I don't like it. I'd rather have Flowers for 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, draw the line wherever you want than Michael Bennett. But I also think this is how the Patriots operate. So I'm not flipping cars over about it. But because this to me started to sink in a few days ago. I think that Michael Bennett is Trey Flowers insurance. And again, I didn't even put together the whole franchise part of it until I started thinking about it a little bit more. The Bennett deal came after all those guys were franchised. So the Patriots looked at it and said, the market for this guy is going to be ridiculous. It's going to be ridiculous. We better be ready for it. And that's what they did.
And you know how I feel about Trent Brown. I wish that they used the franchise tag on him. I didn't want him to get any kind of long-term deal because you're just asking for a guy like that with his history of laziness with San Francisco and even that he didn't like watching tape when he first got here. You're asking him to show up, fat and out of shape, kind of like how Alan Branch did when he got a couple-year deal a few years back. But still, franchise him, see how Wynn comes along, you have him for another year, and work it that way. Obviously, that didn't happen. Now he gets this monster deal, so good luck. It obviously worked out as best as it could have last year. I still have some concerns about a rookie with a bum leg coming in and taking over at the left tackle, trying to protect the blinds out of a 42-year-old quarterback. So a little bit bummed about that. And with Flowers, I don't know. It feels like, to me, just based on what you read, like the spending is going to be out of control. So now you're hearing, he could get 18? something at $18 million per year, the Patriots aren't going to match that or come close. I figured if it was around 15 and a half, 16, they'll be in. But if it goes over that, kiss them goodbye.
So what stands out to me, and the Midday Show is hitting on it too, is what the Eagles have also done today or reported, you know, are about to do. They signed Malik Jackson, defensive lineman, for $10 million a year, which is more than Bennett's making. They are reportedly in on DeSean Jackson going back there in a trade with Tampa. He makes money. And they've already signed their tackle, Jason Peters, right? He makes money. So, you know, example number 1,000 of, and even the player did it this time. The Eagles had to move on from Michael Bennett because of the cap. Like, so usually that's the ownership excuse. That's the owner who doesn't want to spend money says, ah, well, we don't have cap room. And that's long been the ownership management excuse. But look, turns out a player can even use it, where Michael Bennett knows he's about to get bleep canned in Philly and says, well, you know, they don't have the cap room for me. When really they just they want nothing to do with him. They're firing him. And again, so all the spending today in Philly puts the lie to Bennett claiming it was a cap issue. It wasn't a cap issue. They didn't want him. They fired him. Does that make you rethink your thoughts about Michael Bennett? How come they fired him?
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely it does. And
isn't it obvious? I mean, like, so this is a rhetorical question. Why did they fire Michael Bennett? Because he's an a-hole.
Right, because he's a pain in the ass.
Because he's an a-hole. I mean, you tell me. For you gave me all the numbers there on Friday. By a lot of metrics, the second most productive pass rusher in the NFL last year. Now, 7.2 is real money, except for the second most productive pass rusher in the league.
Bargain.
It's not a bad number for the second most productive pass rusher in the league. And so why would Philly move on from that when they have all the money, when they have clearly enough money, as we saw today by how they moved around the league?
So it could be his looming legal issues. You know, uh-huh. He has this thing with Super Bowl 51 where he's trying to get to his brother and he pushes over the paraplegic security guard. Or it's like you say, it's the a-hole factor. So Gasper and I talked to Jeff McClain, the guy who covers the Eagles that broke this story on Friday.
I heard this, yeah.
And he said, like, you know, there's really no gray area with Michael Bennett in the locker room. He has his guys, and then there's other guys that look at him and are like, ugh, you know, this a-hole. So maybe they were just done with that. Maybe that was the louder voices came from the more important players on the Eagles that were like, all right, we're good here with this guy. Despite his numbers, let's move on.
Did you send me something where some people or you're wondering whether he was one of those voices that was going out against Carson Wentz? Wasn't there some reports at the end of the year there in Philly that his teammates didn't trust him or something? And are you sort of drawing that line there to Michael Bennett?
Yeah, maybe.
I sent that to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, again, once I heard the Midday Show talking about it, too. And there was that thing with Wentz at the end of the year. If you remember, there were unnamed teammates saying that he was a selfish player. And the Eagles, like, immediately jumped out and says this is not true. And I don't remember. I think Wentz came out and, you know, said something at the time, too. But the response from the Eagles was swift. Swift. Maybe this is the guy. Maybe he's one of them.
Oh, he likes to talk, and he's not afraid to rip his teammates and coaches.
Isn't that the easy line to draw? So we're getting this guy out of here.
I mean, it can't be the money. So, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I'll just mention, 9 times out of 10, the cap's a lie. 9 times out of 10, maybe more. Maybe 95 times out of 100. The cap is a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie by ownership, usually. That can spend the money that doesn't want to. And now it turns out the player can use it, too, to his advantage. Well, they have cap problems. Which totally, you know, covers up the fact that they didn't want him because why? So, is he an a-hole? It feels that way. But fine, you can handle an a-hole that plays hard and is sort of with the program, but is he undermining his teammates? That's a possibility. Is it possible that he's actually in legal trouble? And I go back and forth on this. This thing, it was the Patriots Super Bowl against Atlanta where he was there to watch his brother. And he just tried to force his way on the field. He didn't have a credential or something, or they asked him to go through a different entrance. And he forced open the door. He pushed a couple of women, apparently. One was a paraplegic, and they actually charged him. It sounds like a horrible story, except they've let him or they've postponed the thing like 6 times. I mean, it's really been a year. So I just wonder, like, how bad of trouble could he be in if they keep allowing him to postpone the arraignment for a year? Is it just a technicality? Is it one of those things? Or is he really facing something that the league's going to suspend him for? And is that something the Eagles had to consider and you have to consider? You know, could be facing if he's found guilty. And it sounds like an ugly story. If the tape comes out, there's a tape of him pushing. I think he pushed the security guard, a 66-something-year-old security guard, back in a wheelchair. you know, that ain't going to look good on video. So I,
hey, if there's footage, he's screwed.
I mean, and so is he facing a suspension, et cetera, et cetera?
Maybe.
Question.
But I think it's got more to do with the locker room. I do. I think it's got more to do with the locker room. And I know that's sad in a lot of ways, but the fact is the NFL is exempt from a lot of the nonsense that goes on in the real world involving their players anyway. And if there is something that comes out, the Patriots will cut him. They'll release him. That'll be it.
Okay, so a lot of NFL stuff. Trent Brown already gone. Trey Flowers, feels like he's 1 foot out the door. Michael Bennett coming to New England. How do you feel about that? Danny Amendola lasts like, less than 5 minutes on the open. Was he even on the open market when he was? I felt like the way you guys sent the tweets to me this morning, Danny Amendola cut in Miami. Word is mutual interest between him and the Patriots. Danny Amendola in Detroit signing with the Lions.
It changed within like 40 minutes.
Like, I just woke up too late. So he was, barely breathed the air before he's in Detroit. Should the Pats have gotten in on there? You know, he was, between 5 and 6 million with Detroit? That feels, heavy. I would have given him that contract last year that he got in Miami. It was 6 million guaranteed. But again, this year, another 6 million on top of it. So how do you feel about Danny Amendola? How do you feel about the Antonio Bryant situation? Just give me a thought on that real quick.
So look, Bryant came out of this.
Brown, let's not do this. You've already said it twice.
I've done it twice. And Brown, Antonio Brown.
Landed on his feet, both of them. Inbounds, for crying out loud. After all that, Pittsburgh got nothing for the guy, relatively speaking, given his level of talent. Brown gets a new location and a contract. So being a pain in the ass pays, apparently. Yeah. So I give the win in this to Antonio Brown.
Yeah, considering the money, Antonio Brown won. I just wonder, they give him a mountain of money, and they obviously have the cap space. But for a team that's supposedly trying to rebuild and remarket themselves so that they have a team that's, worthwhile when they go to Vegas, to bring a guy in like this now, kind of doesn't make sense.
I don't know about that. They have one more year here, then they're in Vegas? I don't know. It's all the ramp up for Vegas. Well, I mean, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't know. They have this mountain of draft picks and these number one picks. When these guys actually come to fruition, isn't it going to be a few years? He'll be 33, 34. What's he going to be then?
I don't know. I think they're just building. They're just starting the train down the tracks to get to Las Vegas. They're going to show up next year with Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
To me, that's what they're doing. And again, now I say as it pertains to Pittsburgh, I'll just say quickly, I still think the Steelers have big problems. The quarterback and the coach chief among them. So I don't, They took a hit on this. They gave away a terrific player. And I say, I know he's a pain in the ass. I know. But they really didn't get anything for him. And I still think they have core problems there.
No question. And this all goes back to why it's never going to change. It's not going to matter. This is your competition. If you asked me who Pittsburgh's three best players were going to last year, you'd say Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. They've lost two of the three. For a third, a fifth, and $21 million in dead cap space. And potentially another comp pick.
So did I hear right that Antonio Brown's cap hit...
In Pittsburgh.
...is more than any receiver in the league.
True that.
So they will pay a guy more than any player in the league at his position, and he'll be on someone else's roster.
And this is your chief rival. This is the best the AFC has to offer. Over the last decade, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the best the AFC has to offer, arguably. One of them anyway. And they lose two of their three best players and get in return a third, a fifth, maybe another pick at the end of the third, and $21 million in dead cap space. That's why nothing's ever going to change, because that's your competition. The competition remains moronic and anemic. And so there you go. There are our leadoff thoughts. What are yours? To your calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Trey Flowers, could it be goodbye to New England? I'm told, yes, it is going to be goodbye. Where could he land? The Detroit Lions, they're in need of a defensive tackle. They are interested. Detroit and Miami, both interested. And, of course, we know with Matt Patricia there, trying to store a culture there, having a former New England player there could, of course, help that out.
All right, that's Diana Rossini. She says she hears Trey Flowers is gone. So Michael Bennett for Trey Flowers. How do you feel about that? If that's how it goes down, we'll see. I'd never say never with this team. Hard team to predict, obviously. So we got NFL free agency. And if you want to weigh in on Bruins Celtics, whatever, it is a reentry Monday. You can do whatever you want. Your phone number is 617-779-0985. Joe in Providence, lead us off on the Patriots. Go ahead, Joe. Is he up, Jimmy? Hi, Joe. Are you there? Okay, babe. You can call us back. Mary in Marshfield wants to weigh in on the Bruins. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm going to answer the call for you to have some Bruins come down to earth. I'm definitely still on the train, Jimmy, but I'm not expecting us to be departing at the Stanley Cup Finals. However, I got to say, like, last night's game was definitely an indication of what they'll be facing in the playoffs, more playoff-style hockey, heavier, harder, fighting for that puck. And as far as Pasternak, I told you before, I've said this before, he's so flipping talented, this kid, but he's a bit of an airhead. My mother used to say zipperhead, if you will. I could see him goofing around and screwing around and pushing each other. And who knows, maybe it was Donato that pushed him. And to fall that hard, to break your thumb, I've fallen. I've broken my fall.
Hold on. Where did we hear that Donato pushed him?
I'm just kidding. You guys.
I see. That's why they traded his ass.
Oh, that's why they traded Donato. Yeah.
I like it, though.
Yeah, me too. You know, I love it. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Mary, what? You don't like Solaric running around out there? You don't like Lee Stapniak running around out there? No, remember the caller on Friday? Felger, what are you talking about? They're winning.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They'll be fine. Yeah, no. I love watching Peter Solaric out there. Love it.
I still want to say, oh, ye of little faith to Mary, but I watching that last night and then the injury to Grzelcyk, who's been, you know, one of their top three defensemen, it does show how thin they are.
They are thin. They need Pasternak to come back. They've been playing like crap for over a week, just getting away with it.
I mean, to me, the fact that it got to last night, that streak is a miracle because they should have lost one of the last three games all to bad teams.
I'll tell you the number one thing that bothered me about that game. There's only one real beef I have last night. I'll tell you that here in a second. Cam and Taunton on this, the Lakers, I guess. Go ahead, Cam.
Mike, what you said the last time I called into this to you, you said that they're not going to win before the Celtics, Mike. There's nobody in a rush to play with LeBron except for Davis. We got Durant calling his atmosphere toxic from everything you hear. Kawhi is only interested in going to the Clippers if he's going to Los Angeles. Watching that team last week with Rondo sitting as far away from the bench as possible and then the mess that they were on Saturday night, they are not going to win a thing with LeBron, and I find it hysterical. Okay, they're not going
to
win with him.
All right, the only player that wants to go there is Anthony Davis.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, I know. They're in a bad spot. Bad spot. The only player that wants to go there is the best young player in the league. And then when he gets there, you think maybe someone else might want to go there? I don't know, just a thought. I'm not telling you they're in great shape. I'm just telling you the fact that Anthony Davis wants to go there is a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're a mess. They are a mess. And maybe this is, look, maybe there's a lot to this story. Maybe this is part of the reason why LeBron was eager to recruit Anthony Davis and the agent wanted to go out and get the deal done at the All-Star break because they were worried about the environment there. And so, I don't know, maybe this is why you take a chance on him. I'm just throwing crap against the wall because if you can get him in a good environment and you win with him, then he'll look at L.A. and go, do I really want to go there? I don't know. I'm just saying. But if he ends up in L.A., old LeBron will be just fine.
And I just wouldn't judge their future based on how they look now. How did the Celtics look in 2006, 2007? How was that team? So you get the guys in that league, and they are all functional, and we'll get to that here with the Celtics coming up. You can turn around pretty quickly. Joe in Providence has just jumped back on Michael Bennett. Go ahead, Joe.
That's the same thing with the Phillies. I mean, only Harper and Trout want to go there, so, you know, who cares about that, right? Anyway, this Bennett thing reeks of Albert Haynesworth and Chad Ochocinco. I wouldn't count on this guy replacing anybody. I mean, he's north of 30. He's a malcontent. His brother got a long hair for a year or whatever, but these guys have, you know, like a severe agenda where they want to be stars. They want to be on, you know, popular kind of talk shows and things like that or whatever. And, you know, I'm not saying they're wrong with anything that they have beef about, but he doesn't seem like a patriot to me. And he doesn't, 1 year tops. You get 1 year out of this guy tops.
Okay, well, that's, I mean, that's actually would be a fair trade.
I mean, I think that's all they want.
Yeah, it's a fifth. So that's all you need is 1 year. So
especially if he brings his brother with him.
Yeah, I'm not telling you it's not going to work. I mean, again, when the competition loses two of their best three players for nothing in return and $21 million in dead cap money, then you're fine. So this isn't a commentary on what he's not going to do anything to the Pats. I just think he's kind of an a-hole. I guess he's kind of an a-hole, but you were shaking your head at another comparison.
Yeah, because I don't think Haynesworth and Ochocinco were good comparisons. Haynesworth was done. He was done. He was a complete, total bum. And Ochocinco was closer to done than not, right? I mean, did he even play anywhere after he left here? I don't think so.
I don't think so, man.
So this guy, to me, still feels like he's playing at a high level. That's what makes this a little different. The a-hole part, absolutely true. No question about it. This guy's an a-hole.
You know that he abandoned his dog in Tampa when he left there?
Oh, I didn't know that.
So he abandoned it at the I was just reading this today. He abandoned it at the pet store. So it's not like he left it in the house. But he brought...
Doesn't matter where he did it. If he did it, he's an a-hole.
Brought the dog. So this is what gets some... So I can tell you that he's mistreating people, and everyone's like, oh, yeah,
oh, yeah,
fine.
I'll shrug. I couldn't care less.
No, exactly, yeah. He pushed a paraplegic. Yeah, but he can get to the quarterback. Then I mentioned he abused a dog. It's like...
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, people. Mm-hmm. Seriously, Murray. He didn't abuse the dog, but he did abandon it. He took it to the kennel. The dog spa, the dog hotel, whatever, where the dog bunks up, and then got moved to Seattle and left him there.
Never went back,
never called, never anything. Just left the dog there.
And nice guy.
And they had to chase him down for $15,000 or whatever it was. Finally, he settled up and like, no, this is this guy.
Well, listen, again, you're not going to hear me sit here and say that he's a good guy. I don't think he is. I think he can still play. And the other thing is, if we start doing this, how many of the guys in that league do you have to throw out?
No, I understand.
So I just try to judge him on the football merits. And if he's as a dog, as a football player, then I sort of get annoyed. But as a human being, we start judging them as human beings, we'll toss out half the league.
Shane in Roslindale. Hi, Shane.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, Mike, I think your theory is spot on about Bennett. I think it's all legal. Because history repeats itself, and if we look at history with Bennett, he got traded by the Seahawks, and then weeks later the indictment came down. So I think he might be facing a suspension. He's got that court date right before Kraft.
Yep.
I think he might be facing a little suspension, and the Patriots just don't care. I mean, we've done it before with guys on suspension.
Hey, we fired the morality coach, so you don't have to deal with that guy anymore. You know, that guy chirping your ear about amoral behavior. Got that flying the ointment out of the way. Then it's just open season. Bring them all in. Bring in any vile cat juggling criminal you can find.
Michael, we're not worried about you facing charges. We fired the character coach.
So I'm curious about that. I'm just curious about that case. Is that a serious thing? I can't imagine he's facing time. If he's really facing time, and why would they let him postpone the arraignment for a full year? But is it something that if he did plead to, or again, as the league has said a million times over, and it's written in their policy, a finding of not guilty is not sufficient to get you out of league discipline. So if the league investigates the incident, see that he pushed that 66-year-old lady back into her wheelchair and was pushing women around to get on the field, they say, well, that's enough for us. We don't care whether you're innocent, guilty, no contest, you're going down for a couple games. And as the Eagles look at that and say, between that and him undermining Carson Wentz, we don't need this guy around.
I think the Wentz thing is bigger.
For
right?
them.
Yeah, like they, you know, was he, forgive me, he was the number one pick, right? He wasn't number two, he was number one. Wentz?
I can't remember.
Okay, regardless.
One, two, him and Goff.
Okay, so he was their franchise quarterback, regardless. If you got a guy in the locker room that's undermining the franchise quarterback who's 25 years old, bye-bye to the 33-year-old defensive lineman. See you later. You're a good player, but we're not putting you ahead of him. So you're gone. I think that's the bigger issue. if he's one of those guys, if Bennett is one of those guys that was making life, going to make life difficult for Wentz and created a division in that locker room, they got him out of there fast.
All right, stuff is happening across the league that involve the Patriots. Interesting stuff that doesn't involve the Patriots. There's more breaking news and more information for you. It comes right here in Murray's update. We come back in just a real quick Bruins minute. The one thing that did bug me, I don't blame him for losing, but there was one thing that does bug me, and I'll get to that right after Murray's update.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it was going to come to an end at some point here, Judd. Today was the day, and it was the first period that really hurt them. And then a timely goal in the second.
On the power play from Jake Guentzel. Bruins scramble the puck off the faceoff, dished over to the near side. And that's going to do it. For the first time since January 19th, the Bruins have been beaten in regulation, and their 19-game point-scoring streak comes to an end. Your final tonight here in Pittsburgh, Penguins 4 and the Bruins 2.
Again, no big rip on the team. They got injuries. They haven't been playing great for a week. It's going to end at some point. So it ends last night. Not ready to go in Pittsburgh. Fall behind again. Can't come back. I'm going to lose my mind over that. Why would I? Only one thing that gives me one real annoyance. One real annoyance. And this is it. Why do I have to watch Lee Stepniak out there? Seriously. Why do I have to watch that guy?
Good question.
And I just can't help but one thing. And this take has nothing to do with this year's team, really. I mean, maybe tangentially, but it's really more a big picture thought about the organization. How badly does your system suck if this is the guy that you're using at this time of year to fill in for David Pastrnak or Jake DeBrusque or, you know, one of your top six guys? He starts the game with Krejci. No one can play down there? No one. You got no one. No one. Because you're using Suitcase Lee Stepniak.
Speaks volumes, doesn't it?
How old is this guy now?
35, I think.
He's out of the league all year. He was just practicing with you.
Correct.
He didn't even have a contract. He wasn't even in Providence all year. He was practicing with you. Like the flipping, and God bless his heart, like the state trooper who fills in goalie. Like, that's who you have skating around with David Krejci in this game. What is that? That bugs me.
It should bug you. Again, when I saw that they had procedurally added him last week, I didn't even realize he was with them. I had no clue. And so I thought, well, this is going to be their way to get around the trade deadline. I was pleasantly surprised that they even acquired Johansson at the time. But that's what this is now. Johansson's down, so he's getting in there.
No one can play down there. No one. No one can play.
It's an indictment on Senishin more than anybody.
Of course it's an indictment on Senishin. Drafted him 13 overall or whatever it is. He hasn't gotten a single game. You know how much crap gets sent back and forth between, you know, any NHL team and their AHL affiliate in the course of a year or two? Yeah, 20, 30 moves at forward between the 2 years. He doesn't get one. He didn't get one sniff. The guy didn't get one freaking sniff to the point where it's Lee Stepniak that's up here with the team. Never mind. You can go through it. You know. And again, if some of these guys are hurt, Forsbacka Carlson's hurt, right? Is he? I think he's hurt. Whatever. Frederick, Forsbacka Carlson, all these guys. Senishin, where are they? They got no one who can play down there? No one? Remember this Anton Bleed who used to get time up here?
B-L-I-D-H.
Yeah, he's still in Providence. Can't play. I mean, so that sort of a big picture take I have on the team. It's just like, boy, no wonder they're talking about the window. That no one who can play.
Yeah, Seneschal, I was just looking it up. 54 games this year, 13 goals, 10 assists, 23 points. Last year he played 66 games, had 12 goals.
Okay, anyway, there's just your little Bruins minute. 617-779-0985. Football, Celtics, this, whatever you want. John in Brockton on the Pats. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you guys remember Super Bowl 49 when the all-out brawl at the end.
Sure.
You know who started that fight? It was Michael Bennett against Gronk.
That's right.
Because he kept pushing Gronk in the face. This is going to be a huge chemistry mess up on our team, and this is going to be another reason why Gronk thinks he's not going to return, because he's a punk.
Okay, well, that all might be true, except when your chief rival in the AFC keeps trading away two of their three best players for absolutely nothing in return other than tens of millions of dollars of dead cap money, which I shouldn't include because it doesn't really, you know how I feel about that. But either way, just look at how the Pittsburgh Steelers have handled the top of their roster. So you still have the Steelers, so it doesn't matter. You could bring in Attila the Hun. You could resurrect Saddam Hussein and put him at the three technique, and it ain't going to matter. You could bring in someone who's going to literally destroy your locker room. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The rest of the league and the AFC particularly is that anemic. So what's the diff? Bring in everybody. You're going to bring in this guy. And, you know, even as I say that little rant, he's not going to destroy the locker room.
Doesn't Brady like him?
He must. Apparently he does. But even if he didn't, they'll figure it out. I mean, so the big thing is, I mean, if they could handle Martellus Bennett, maybe Michael Bennett's even a little bit bigger of an a-hole, but they've dealt with these guys before, specifically these guys, the Bennetts. So they'll probably figure it out.
See, I'm not worried about that part of it. Because, again, I think the Patriots generally handle that well. So, like, I'm surprised to hear somebody say the guy's going to come in and destroy the locker room. If that happens, you know what Bill will do? He'll cut his ass. He'll trade him to freaking Siberia like he did with Jamie Collins or someone else. That's what he'll do. He'll bury the guy. So I'm not worried about that part of it, because Belichick's not going to let one guy undermine his season. He just doesn't run it that way. Now, can the guy still play? Like, that would be my greater concern. But a-hole? Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. Capital A. Gigantic. But, again, I'm not, you know... I long ago stopped passing judgment on them bringing in a-holes, because I sort of said, if the guy's a good deal, they'll bring him in.
There's also this. I mean, he's had a lot to say about Greg Schiano, who he had as a head coach in Tampa. What was that great quote? I don't know if you have it in front of you, Murray. That great quote that he gave that radio station in Seattle?
Yeah, the host asked, you seem like a guy who couldn't play for a stiff, and Bennett, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along the lines of, well, I have in Tampa. His name was Greg Schiano.
Oh, we actually have sound. We actually tracked down sound of it, Jimmy.
Because I can't see you playing for a stiff. You know, if you had a guy up there who was a stiff, you'd just be going, really?
I've done it before, and it's not fun. His name is Greg Schiano. That's crazy.
He's gonna hold it like a pizza.
Thank you for tracking that down, Jimmy, but we better off saying it either way.
No, pretty straightforward. You know,
hold it like a pizza, Michael. That's my biggest problem with that guy, a bad cell phone. But he hates the coach. He hates his defensive coach. But let me ask you, Michael Bennett or Greg Schiano?
I'll take Bennett every time.
Yeah, me too.
Who do you pick in that one?
I'm on Bennett's side. I'll take Bennett. At least Bennett has done something. Like, at least I can look at Bennett and say he's good.
He's better at what he does than what Schiano does.
Yes.
Than what Schiano does.
Absolutely. He's better at his job than Schiano is. So, in the battle of a-holes, I'll take the guy with talent who's actually accomplished. If them bringing in Michael Bennett means that they have to fire Greg Schiano, I'm in.
Dennis and Merrimack on the Bees. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I totally agree with your take there on Lee Stepniak. This is like version 3.0 of this guy. I don't understand what the obsession is with Lee Stepniak, but yeah, I don't want to look at it with a fine tooth comb. But he gave up. He turned the puck over last night.
Oh, he cost you the first goal. Yeah, absolutely. He doesn't belong out there. He doesn't belong. And maybe they're rewarding him because he did stick around all year, I guess, without a contract and just practice with the team. And maybe he's got a relationship with the coach and all that, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Except, does that mean that you have no one in Providence who can play? No one? No one. No one can play. So maybe it just drives home that system thing about, or the window thing. I got to win now because there's a reset coming because the system ain't what we think it is or isn't what it's been portrayed.
I mean, so that, I'm worried about that. And I know that Charlie Jacobs said, you know, we have a bunch of guys playing in the World Junior. When we talked to him at the Winter Classic, he said, we have a bunch of guys playing in the World Juniors who have all played well, blah, 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 blah. Fine. And there were some guys that we even don't even have, really have that much on the radar. Studnicka hasn't really, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But based on some of the rankings and ratings that are out there of minor league systems, the Bruins are near the bottom. They're near the bottom. So maybe they're not counting the DeBrusts of the world anymore because they're NHL players and McAvoy. And so they've had a little bit of a feeder there, a little. But after this, I'm not sure there is another wave.
We continue with your NFL free agency thoughts, and I will give you a player that I want them to target. I actually want them to go after someone. And I'll tell you who. And your number is 617-779-0985.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Far point of Grizzlick. Grizzlick dances to the high slot, and then he checked out.
He's got such good lateral movement, though.
Heinen brings it into the right circle, cuts to the middle, shoots, he scores!
We don't have to keep going on with the Bruins. I just wanted to play that goal because you see that tip by Krejci on Saturday.
Tremendous.
Night?
Oh, tremendous play.
Just butter. That was. Now, I thought Krejci was a little soft last night, contributed to the first two goals as well, but also scored. And that goal on Saturday night to extend the streak, wow, that was tasty. All right, one free agency thought for you, and then we'll move on. You know who I want them to get that they're not going to get, and it, you know, probably isn't a fit, but I think would be a perfect guy for this team and would love.
Do tell.
And I know that you're going to and you're going to agree with it. Earl Thomas.
I love him.
Like Earl Thomas could be a later day Rodney Harrison. Reports came out today that he wants 2 years and $30 million.
Good luck.
So that ain't going to happen. Not here. But if that's just wishful thinking and the numbers come down, and I know I understand you've got Devin McCourty, and I understand. I mean, like, I get it. It's not going to happen. I'm not telling you it's going to happen. I'm just telling you I love the thought of that kind of player.
Playmaking safety?
Well, and tone setter, leader, pro, been there, through the wars, knows what it takes to win, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just think he'd be a great Patriot.
Oh, please.
And I just love those kind of players.
Get rid of Teron Harmon for him? I'm in.
So, right. I mean, if you go McCourty, Earl Thomas can play close to the line of scrimmage and be sort of the playmaker role, and Devin McCourty plays center field, and, like, it would really work.
Absolutely.
What leads me to believe that Earl Thomas's price is not going to be what he wants, for sure, and maybe there may be a depressed market on a lot of these guys, is something I read in the Peter King column today, and that is, well, I'll read it from him, that the two positions – with mega options in veteran free agency, the defensive line and safety, are also overrun with strong prospects in the draft. One GM told me on Sunday there would be 6 to 8 pass rushers taken in the first round alone and maybe 6 safeties picked in the top 50. So what Peter is saying is that with all those prospects in the draft, the market for the Earl Thomases, the Landon Collins with the Giants, or some of these pass rushers, Trey Flowers, might be, although Flowers' market's supposed to be through the roof, that you could get, let's just stick with the safety position, that a lot of these safeties are going to be very affordable because a lot of teams are just going to take them in the draft. And, you know, he's not the only one. Eric Reed is available there at safety. There are some playmaking safeties out there. I would not recommend Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, but he's another one. There's several safeties that are out there, and Earl Thomas to me is my favorite, that you might get at a nice little discount because teams are going to go at that position in the draft. Landon Collins is probably the highest rated of all of them. So I love playmaking safeties. I think the whole position has sort of fallen on hard times. I don't feel like there's as many guys as there used to be. But, you know, Ronnie Lott or Troy Polamalu, whether you thought he was overrated or not, but just that role, Ronnie Harrison here in 03 and 04, I've always loved that role.
I mean, the ones that are really good make game-changing plays.
Absolutely.
Right? Ed Reed's of the world, like, you know, and he's an elite guy.
Tone setters, game changers, etc. So I think there's a chance here for sort of that kick at the can veteran. Oh, the Honey Badger.
Another good one.
You like the Honey Badger?
Sure.
So if Tyrann Mathieu is affordable, if Earl Thomas is anywhere close to affordable, again, Clinton Dix would drive you nuts. He won't play discipline enough. But, you know, if these guys are affordable, I'd love to see them insert someone like that. Love to see them insert someone like that. And then there's going to be the pass rushers because, again, there's so many pass rushers available in the draft. Again, Clay Matthews, not typically your Patriot kind of guy because he's not a great run player or disciplined or any of those things, but he can get to the quarterback. He can still do it. And if he's cheap, sort of that veteran guy that's been there, knows what it takes, et cetera, et cetera. Justin Houston there with the Chiefs is going to be available. Like I think there might be some good value there with those players. Not that I care about the value, but I know they do.
So my only question to Peter King would be, if I look at safety, I get it. Landon Collins was not franchised. You know, Thomas is available. Like those guys. But the defensive pass rushers, they all got franchised.
So the elites have been franchised. That's right. So when he says defensive line, maybe, you know, Clay Matthews is a linebacker and Justin Houston's technically a linebacker, so maybe that's what he's referring to. But I think there's going to be some openings there, maybe at those two positions. And I'd love to see sort of the return of that, you know, playmaking safety. You know, Chung sort of does that for you, but I don't know. Tone-setting guy. All right, so there's that. To your phone, 617-779-0985. Jonathan and Everett on the Pats. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. I would like to... I know you guys have said a lot about Golden Tate, but what about DeSean Jackson from Tampa?
So DeSean Jackson is supposed to be going back to Philadelphia. He kind of scares me from a personality fit.
No, thanks.
I mean, he's not the complete flaming D-bag that Odell Beckham is or Antonio Brown is, but he's like next-level D-bag. And so you know how I feel about those D-bag receivers.
Yeah, I'm no on DeSean Jackson.
Me too.
I mean, he's
washed up at this point.
Well, and honestly, I feel like, remember I told you with Odell Beckham, and a lot of people tell me I'm wrong on Odell Beckham, so we'll see. But DeSean Jackson feels to me like the guy who just runs down the field, and that's it. Like over the middle, in traffic, any of that? I don't think he does any of that. He feels to me like nothing more than a burner. And look, I mean, he can make big plays. I'm not telling you he can't. And does he even still kick return?
I don't think so.
So no. He used to be a good, dangerous kick returner. But beyond that, like, no thanks. I'm just not my cup of tea.
Kurt in the Berkshires. Hi, Kurt.
Hi. My question is with Trey Flowers. I don't want to lose him, but if we gain Michael Bennett and the possibility of getting his brother as well, I mean, that kind of feels like a win to me. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like a loss. We're gaining one good player and losing one good player. Tell me what you think.
I just disagree. I think Martellus Bennett does nothing for me. I mean, really, at this stage, he's been out of football for a year. What was he at the end anyway? Okay, he wasn't much. So I just think you can duplicate whatever Martellus Bennett's going to bring you cheap. You don't even have to pay for it. All to bring in Michael Bennett for 1 year? I don't know. As opposed to a foundational piece like Trey Flowers, you could have for the next three or four who you drafted, developed, get your system perfectly. Does every single thing asked of him? It looks like to me, I don't know. I'm not in there. But does it feel to you like he's done, like he's not just the perfect guy? When I say Trey Flowers, I can't remember a single thing the guy's ever said. You know, Talk about the perfect pay. Just shut your mouth. We don't even want to hear from you. Just go out and do your job. That's felt like it's all he's done. I've never seen him or heard from him outside of watching him just pressure the quarterback or making plays on the field. I could barely tell you what he looks like or what he, never mind what he sounds like. And all he's done is produce and do exactly what they've asked of him. Well, you'd rather have Michael Bennett than that guy?
No. And again, you're even factoring in some of the extra stuff. I'm telling you that on the field, he's younger, and I'll take the longevity over the guy for a year.
Absolutely, that too.
So this is the reality of it. You want a good player, and you want to get him for a little while, you got to pay him. Typically, unless you just get him right out of the draft, then you have him for 3 or 4 years, or 4 or 5 years, depending. But otherwise, you got to pay him. I just as soon keep Flowers. But I feel like they're angling away from that.
Zach in the car, your thoughts on this?
Yep, Matt. So I didn't like your take on Flowers because you don't acknowledge that the Patriots had a chance to tag him and they didn't. So I just don't think that they opt to not tag him, so they're going to help him go get paid by somebody else. I just feel like there was some kind of understanding that you go talk to folks, but I just feel like the Patriots are definitely going to be participating and maybe get a little bit of a hometown discount on Flowers when it's all said and done.
Okay, well, that's what Gasper thinks. He thinks he'd offer you a hometown discount.
Yeah, and I guess Mike Giardi said something similar, right? Giardi's indicated that he thinks that Flowers will come back to the Patriots at the end of the day, that it's a situation akin to Devin McCourty or Dante Hightower, both of whom remain with the Patriots, all of which may be true. I'm just telling you that taking the reporters out of it and what they're hearing, looking at the landscape, there were a bunch of pass rushers that were franchised that didn't get to the market. Once that happened, Trey Flowers' leverage on the market increased after the Patriots didn't franchise him. And so that suggests to me that his price tag is going up. Then the Patriots went out and got Bennett. So I just draw the timeline.
It's hard not to connect the dots, man. There's no question.
I mean, so that's all. I'm just telling you, I'm looking at the timeline. That's all, nothing more than the timeline. And it feels to me like the Patriots are making sure that they don't get caught with their pants down if Flowers ends up somewhere else and the bidding gets outrageous.
We continue with your thoughts on day one of the legal tampering period, which feels like day one of the signing period, frankly, as stuff is happening by the minute. The very latest comes your way right here in the update with Big Jim Murray, and we're back to discuss with you.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.